Blog Talk Radio.
Our show.
Hello, Corey. How are you?
I'm pretty good, Mary. How about your lovely self?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking.
Ben, how about you, you handsome bastard? How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are, episode 23, America's Beautiful. I think we got
America
a good show lined up. You know, we've already got somebody holding that wants to come on and chat with us, and they've been holding for a while. Should we see what's going on?
Yeah, call that's holding. Who is this?
I think so. Yeah, let's see who it is.
Hey,
that's right.
Hey, guys.
New... Hello.
It's Andrew Morrissey here.
What is
Hello,
up, Andrew Morrissey? You are calling from the future.
The future?
Yes, the future.
Tell
the future
us about
is bright, guys.
That is awesome.
The future is looking bright. Yeah.
Did the zombie apocalypse happen, or are we just crazy?
I don't know. I'm bunkered out at some independent cafe here, so it could have happened, really. I haven't noticed yet, though. But...
Good.
All right, so Andrew is calling from Australia. Where are you in Australia right now?
I'm in Northern Australia.
Northern.
Down south, Melbourne, Australia.
Awesome. So what time is it there? Because I know Australia's got a couple different time zones.
Yeah, it's we're in the afternoon here. It's early afternoon. It's 2 o'clock, 2 p.m.
Nice. So, see, Corey, he's calling from the future.
That's amazing. I thought he was calling from the actual future. I was like, holy shit, so what can you tell us?
Go
did
see
Skynet
if it's,
take over?
If it's out downstairs, too, and let Frankie know that a fuse went out. Yeah.
All right, I'll let him know.
That's cool. Everything, no, it was, yeah, it was cool. Everything went, just flickered. Oh, wait. Greg, never mind. It's just a light, dude.
We here at Occupy Underground would like you to remind you that we're broke. But,
we're lowballing this. I'm broadcasting from the Route 66 hospital in downtown Albuquerque, where the lights just went out. And I'm hanging out with Greg. That's right. And I'm hanging out with Greg Swartzen, famous guitarist for a band with no name, and we're smoking marijuana. That's what we're doing. We're getting stoned, and I'm drinking iced tea.
I got PBR and I'm
off it, so
high five,
dude. What do we do, Andrew? How's your day, Greg?
Yeah, my day's been good. Yeah, I'm just kicking back at a community cafe here down on the river. It's called Happy River Cafe. I'm just occupying a space here, really.
Awesome.
Yeah. And well, I'm just you know, getting ready to launch this project, so...
Yes, we were. I've been doing a lot of looking online about the Hidden Hero comic, and I'm real interested to hear you to talk about it. I think first though we should play some music and come back. Okay, are you hanging out all night, or what's the plan? How long do we have you? I got to get that out first.
Yeah, look, it's really pretty cafe here, so I'd love to hang out and listen to your whole show. Actually, that'd be great.
Awesome, cool. Sweet. So then we're going to periodically stop and play music and then come back. And I don't know if you want to hang out while we're playing the music to you, or if you want to save minutes and hang up and call back. That's always your option. It doesn't really matter. But we'll probably, you know, play like four or five songs every time we go to break. So let's start it off. Awesome. I want to start off with... this is a band that we've played before earlier when we first started Occupy Underground Radio, and they're out of Eugene, Oregon. I think they got a groovy sound. They're called Strange Dichotomy. Let's go with them.
You did? Not yet.
Something lost, but I'm trying.
so loud, it gets so damn cold. It gets just so damn cold. I wish I had your eyes. I don't wanna be around.
think I scraped my knee falling for you.
Didn't we go to different schools together?
If you were a Transformer,
you'd
be a
Autobot. And your name would be
Optimus.
Fine. We got no game, y'all.
We spend our time
reading
love poems, not practicing pickup lines.
We are experts in the art of
trying too
hard.
Bad puns under our tongues. We refuse the cliched misogyny of
polished
pickup
princes. Approach women with romantic intentions and
still manage to say the wrong things.
Hey, girl, I bet my tongue could beat up your tongue.
We got no game.
We never did. When I was 10, I was a BMX amateur professional.
Spinning 360 round handlebars,
jumping
wheelies
off flatbed pickup trucks. But I wrecked my bike every time
girls
looked
my
direction.
Our knees are stitched together
with the scars of their rejection.
The check if you like me box, inscribed on notes, intricately folded into shapes like paper, flower, origami, were usually torn.
Check marks were scarce. I don't think they appreciated your artistry.
Yeah, it's fucking
gangster! We grew up listening to Smokey Robinson
trace
the
tracks
of his tears
to the top of the charts,
and
we
knew
right
then
we wanted to be smooth as Motown soul. Our
best relationships
began
with bodies
bent over notes,
carefully written,
rewritten,
to ask for a kiss from
girls
who might like their men awkward and nervous.
But eventually,
our paper slim
hearts were torn like blossoming fissures in our chest.
The
awkwardness
they once
loved,
no longer charming,
we lost them. In our heads, we planned romance.
After dinner conversations,
whispered flirtations. Will you let me take you home?
I want to undress you in moonlight.
Take your clothes off one at a time,
like
petals
from
the flower
God
designed
to look like your mouth.
Instead,
we
usually
say
something like, your mouth looks like a flower.
Wanna get naked?
We got no game, and we will continue to give you
ass-out
half-hugs, high-fives,
and hesitant kisses on the cheek.
We represent
the sexually non-threatening men of
America.
Fuck yeah! And we'd rather be honest and awkward about holding your hand with sweaty palms
than drop pickup lines from YouTube.
And when we try to talk to you,
we're not trying to get your number.
We're trying to get your name. We may not be the kind of men who
always
know
the
right things to
say,
but we try to be the kind of guys who know
how to listen.
Ladies,
a
man with no game will never play you,
and
we will
respect
you so good.
Black, Jack, Johnson ain't scared of you motherfuckers. Get it off now. Come on, push it off now. What you want now? Get it cool now. Yeah, that freak that shit. Yes, I told you my hat was incredible, dude. Listen. Much drama in the NYC. It's kind of hard being MOS, definitely. But somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky ass shit with the blackjack J. May I spit a lyric for my ghetto people? Show me the respect when I breathe through. Riders leave me home because I keep the party jumping like your mama ain't home. I'm just a freak individual singing my song, shining bright on the mic like I'm 6 in the morning. So peep out my manuscript. Reach up, sleeves up for a second, now bounce. This is the one to make the party wild out. Nigga, I said wild out. Nigga, I said wild out. Let me show you what we're talking about. It's like, yes, rock with me now. Yes, rock with me now. Yes, talk to me now. Back to the beat like, get it up now. Come on, push it up now. Get it up now. I'm making it jump now. Push it up now. I'm making it jump now.
Had a dash of drums, sprinkling some keyboard and a pint of rum. With just a pinch of purple haze and a gallon of bass. Mix snares with rock and roll, throw it all in your face. Preheat the studio to about 100 degrees. Get ludicrous, most deaf, and your best MC. You'll get burnt just for thinking you could step to me. And that's the end of my little get a recipe. My destiny's to rip them, hit them up with the rhythm. Trick them, click them, then ha ha ha, stick them. Jump the hook, no gun can bump that. I'll punch the interview and slap the whole crowd. speakers and strip the wires. Blow smoke from the MPs and amplifiers. I'm here to spit the truth for the liar liars. I'm the hottest MC, y'all are firefighters.
Transition, Ben, it all went from like hip hop to like, I was like, dang, I had to move the phone away from my ear. I was like, whoa.
I like to mix it up. Haven't you noticed that?
I've noticed.
Yeah, I like to, you know, to expressed a variety of. Why is it not unmuting? Okay, I'm trying to express the variety of excellent music out there by throwing good stuff in with good stuff, regardless of genre. You know.
Wow. Yeah. We're mixing it up.
Right. I even had some poetry in there from the Albuquerque slam team. Did you hear that?
Yeah, the awkward guy. Yeah. That one I liked. They did that one last night. It was all good.
Right.
I like the one that Jess. They did the single parent one. That
right.
was really good. Do you have that on the disc too?
I think so. I've got a. I listened to it today. Yes, that one was definitely on there.
That's awesome. Good luck, guys, in Boston for sure.
Right. Oh yeah, good luck.
That's right. It's cool, man. They really do a lot of cool stuff together. Those guys. You should check them out on. Why don't they have a Facebook page? I was looking. They must have a Facebook page for the Albuquerque Slam. Right. They must.
Right.
I don't know. It's 2013. Everybody's got a Facebook. Even people have them for their
right.
dogs.
You know what's
was,
weird
yeah.
out here? Is a lot of people have friends' Facebooks. Like, they don't have, like, band Facebooks. Because you can have up to 5,000 friends, but you can have unlimited followers on your page. Nobody makes pages for themselves here. It's like, well, you don't think you're going to get more than 5,000 likes. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay.
I think it's just funny how some people use Facebook, some people don't. The more I learn, like, it's really interesting what people think of things.
Now, you bring up an interesting point. I'm a little curious because I notice out here that almost everybody, and I even mentioned this to somebody just recently, is that everybody uses Facebook for not just for networking, but for getting out. Because shows happen at the last minute, and it's like you have to have liked bands' pages. You have to have liked venues' pages, you know, and then you get, like, the updates. All of a sudden, this band's playing tonight with these guys. You're like, holy fuck, you know, and you wouldn't have known about it because it's decided, like, after the Alibi or anywhere that you might normally look to see who's going to be playing where is gone. They really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's like you – Facebook is relied on out here to let people know what's going on and to find out what's going on when you want to go do something. That's like the first thing I look to anymore, and it's weird. Oh, what's going on tonight? I don't know. Let me go look on Facebook, you know?
Right. I do the same thing, too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a few places like MidMichiganMusicLive.com I go to, like, their Facebook page. I go to MLive, you know what I mean? I check out all the Facebook pages, you know what I mean, to see – what's going on. Even if it's a link to their website, they usually know something that's going on. So.
Right. And then
yeah,
you can group your friends. They should coordinate. You can group your friends, you know, so if they're friends, then you can go in and say, okay, these are all, like, entertainment-related friends, or these are all, you know, literature-related friends, I don't know. And if you go through and say, oh, I don't know what's going on with music tonight, and you can just go look through a group of friends and see what their shit's supposed to be. You can't do that for likes yet, and I don't know. We'll see an evolution of Facebook as that goes down the road, I'm sure of it.
Facebook is always
that's right.
Yeah. That's what I like about them, though, you know what I mean? They're always updating. Like, remember Facebook when it first started, what you could do with it was basically shit compared to now?
No, I wasn't on it when it first started. I actually, when I got on to social networking, I went and I got myself a MySpace page and a Facebook page at the same time. I was like, I'm going to try these both out. And I didn't really like MySpace, so I just kind of stopped doing that one after a few weeks or a month. You know, but Facebook was already going at that point. But I do remember that I liked being a fan of things better than liking them for a while. I don't know. I guess I'm used to it now. I've acclimated. But when they did that change, I was all irritated because I had liked things because it was humorous to be a fan of this or a fan of that. But somehow when it goes and says Benjamin now likes this instead, it's slightly different. You know, I don't know. It was different.
Well,
because
they like tell the whole world what you like. It's like, oh, I like it.
Right.
I guess you can go into your settings and be like, don't broadcast every time thing I like. But sometimes you want people to see what you like. I don't know.
Right.
Isn't that a topic?
I was talking about like the connotations of the difference between being a fan of something versus liking something. I don't know. That is
yeah.
a topic.
Maybe took it to a whole other
right.
level.
Maybe
took
right.
it deeper.
Well,
I'm
here for I want to hear from Andrew. I want to hear about this Hidden Hero comic, because I was looking online, and I was watching. There's YouTube videos, and Andrew, you should pimp out what you've got, like where people can go check everything out for sure. Because Mary sent me links, but I'm not. But you know how it goes. Yeah, I watched them, and but I can't impart them to. We can post them. Well, I think I posted one.
I think liking the Facebook page might be a good start.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that.
TheHiddenHero.com is the official page, the official vision, which connects you to the Indiegogo, which I've just launched. And so, yeah, if you guys want to check that out. And then, of course, there's about 3 years' worth of the videos I've been collecting and interviewing around the world. So that's, you know, you can get lost down that rabbit hole as well, if you like.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, from what I saw in the YouTube video, it's a comic that you get to. I mean, it almost sounded like it says that you have a character and you get to train with other characters. And I remember hearing that in the YouTube video, and I was like, so this comic, I mean, it's almost starting to sound like a video game to me. If you've got like a character and they can train and things, can you explain that? Can you explain how the comic works?
Yeah, totally. So it's a comic book. It's an interactive comic book. Right, so you learn about the origin stories of these heroes and heroines, and then basically you interact with them via a mobile application. Yeah. So it's really, I think for me, the comic industry have been warming up to it. I'm just really, as you said, I'm looking at the future and going, okay, where's this headed? Where we've been brought up in the mythos of comic books and superheroes, and now we're seeing real life superhero movements. You know, Stan Lee even did. Superhumans, where he traveled the world finding people with extraordinary abilities. So the Hidden Hero is really just following that trend with looking at real-life people and taking a more empowered version where you actually get to train with them, which to me is the next level, really. So, yeah.
So then do you yourself get to become like a character in the story of the comic?
You essentially get to initially study and learn along with some of the heroes initially to build up your own abilities, so you can choose which hero you want to study with. And then, yeah, ultimately you become the hero of the story. So we go through a certain set of elemental forms so that people can actually reconnect with these natural powers. Yeah.
That is really cool.
Yeah,
I'm very anxious to check it out.
So is it like through Qigong? Is it like a mix of like Qigong and like different types of like yogi breathing? And I'm like, you know, like, because I'm familiar with some of like the Qigong exercises and things. So is that like part of the training? It's like learning different positions and meditations and things like that?
Positions. She said positions.
Yeah.
She said positions.
Kind of getting out of. It's more. It's similar to those traditions, but it's more galactic, right? We're using the language of the galaxy now, so. It's more in the sort of galactic language, these elemental forces, and you've got star force, it's energy of the force. And so, you know, keeping with that language. So some of the forms you may be familiar with, like, what's the movie? The animated series, Avatar The Last Airbender, something like this, where you actually master elemental moves and forms.
So from that point of view, what are your thoughts on The Secret? You know what I mean? They say that's like the consciousness of the galaxy. You're actually tapping into the consciousness of the galaxy.
Law of Attraction.
Yeah, that was a nice introduction to these universal principles. And it's a good conversation, really, because we're looking at these universal principles in the comic book. And how do we align with these principles and ultimately to manifest the life that we truly desire? So it's got some aspect of The Secret in there, sure.
So
well,
you're
yeah,
almost.
Yeah,
I mean, you could.
Go
I'm
ahead,
sorry.
Then.
You can, with the aspect of the comic book and the going through and the training of the and the enlightening of the character, you're creating a platform for actual personal growth for the people who get involved in the comic book, because it's going to make them think and change their thought processes and too. You know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's looking more importantly too at that origin story, the mythos, because the mythos. You know, if you look at Joseph Campbell before, you know, George Lucas was a big fan of Joseph Campbell. Yeah, right.
Yeah, he relied on him.
And, Right. So the mythos of story is really fascinating with comic books, right? Because the mythos through a story can shift our consciousness. So I'm using these comic books as that platform so that we can change consciousness through story, through, most importantly, pictorial form, which is beyond the intellect and it's more of the imagination, which is just, you know, I'm sure you guys are aware of the platform of the comic book and how successful that is, and I truly believe that's the platform for the generation to come, more imagination as opposed to more intellect.
Definitely, yeah. A healthy balance of both.
Yeah. Well, of course, Ben was always saying that, and Shaolin, our grandmaster, would always say, "You're all our little Jedis." And I always remember, like, "Oh, we're learning the Force! Yay!
Yay!" I know, right? Yeah. they even referred to things in terms of the Force. Master Sharon was very emphatic that George Lucas took a lot of his inspiration for the Jedi Knights from the Shaolin monks, and that a lot of the teachings that we learned down there were, you know. And I even noticed, like, did you notice in Episode 1, like, right before, at that end scene where Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan are fighting Darth Maul, and he gets Qui-Gon gets stuck behind the that last Force barrier, and then he drops down into the Qigong number one breathing posture, the Zen breathing posture, the charging one. And I was like, and I recognized, I was like, ah, that's the Shaolin meditation posture, you know. I think that's a great idea. I remember having an idea a long time ago for a series of video games that were martial arts based, where you could create a character and learn, like, the different styles, and in the throughout the course of the game, you'd have to actually learn the different forms and kata, and you would inadvertently, like, be learning those styles, whereas, like, you could get off your couch and do it, and, you know, and actually train your body to do that through the video game. I like the concept of interactive educational entertainment, you know, something like a comic book that makes you open your mind and expand your consciousness and your thought process is a brilliant idea, and I applaud you for making that.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, that's the response. You know, that's really appreciated, because it's, you know, I'm just showing the vision. This first crowdfunder is really just to take it to the next level. I'm heading off to Angkor Wat in about a month or so to do filming for the first application. So, yeah, it's exciting. And I think it's really exciting, too, that we've got this technology available for us now, and we can either become zombies in front of the technology, or we can actually empower ourselves with these great technologies.
Yeah. No, it's like, you know, we live in a world we create for ourselves, and the internet and all this technology and interact is network ability can be a benefit or it can be a detriment. It's like you always have to keep that happy medium and keep yourself balanced from falling too far to either side. But I mean, it's like you,
Yeah. Because other people don't know how to use it, though.
You do need music and porn, you know. So it's good that that's there. Right. Sorry, go ahead, Corey.
Oh, really? What I was saying is, no, a lot of people don't know how to use it. They have infinite knowledge at their fingertips. Like, if I want to learn something on this program, where am I going to go? Am I going to go spend money for college? No, I'm just going to watch the YouTube videos, and they're good. They're legit. They're people who have learned years of experience with nothingness, and they're giving you shortcuts. You know what I mean? All that knowledge that they've given over 3 years, you get it in, like, you know, 20 minutes.
Yeah, for sure. And that's it's true. It's like for anything, you know, you want to be a better photographer, you can go watch YouTube videos. You know, you want to learn more about anthropology, you can watch, you know, YouTube videos. It's like you don't have to, unless you want a degree, you really don't have to go to school anymore. You can focus on what you want to. Yeah, you can focus on what you want to educate yourself on. Not all of YouTube, but I mean, if you know what it is that you want to be more educated on, you can search that out and find limitless amounts of information on the internet, you know, without having to pay to go to school. But it's like, I think, and that's different than it used to be. I mean, it's like you can educate yourself now. You really can. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go to school, because it's good for so many other levels, you know. But I'm just saying, as an option, you know, if what you're really going after is to learn something, you know, to learn something about something specific, you don't, you can teach yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, here's the thing, like, since we're talking about, like, don't go to school, whatever, it's more, we're not saying that at all. What we're, college teaches you how to think. College is like your first step into being an adult. And college is good. It's, I went to college for 3.5 years, and it really taught me how to think if you get the most out of it. And some people need to be taught how to think, others not so much. You know, everybody's different. So that's my speech on college. Kids, go to college if you're listening, or go to bed. I don't care. Either one.
But if you're 18, and if you're under 18, you shouldn't be listening to this show more than likely, just because we do throw F-bombs every once in a while and get on some sticky, icky conversations. Oh, well, you know what? I get passionate. What's up?
You heard it here first. Corey went to college and learned to think. That's what he said.
Yeah, and then, what was it? Was it like...
Like coming from where I was, they never taught us really how to think here. You know what I mean? Like when I left for the army, I got there, I didn't really know how to think. I was like a motherfucking like I had intelligence, I just didn't know how to use it. You know what I mean? And college helped me with that. And so I really feel fortunate because, like, seriously, I was dumb. I'm not going to lie. You know, I was smart, but I just didn't know how to use my brain. And college helped me with that.
Imagine how much more you're going to learn. You're only 26, 20. Oh, dude, your birthday's coming up, huh?
Yeah, my birthday's coming up.
How old are you
going to
be? 27?
27.
How old are you
going to
be? 20 motherfucking 7. All
right. I am, right? I'm so young.
You are very young.
Yeah. But, you know, I think I make up for it in my witty charm and my now acquired knowledge of the universe and the world. Maybe.
Right.
Perhaps.
Right, right. And,
guests,
what did we do? Oh, shit, did we? Okay.
We have a guest. Hi, guest.
I know. Andrew is still here hanging out with us. He's going to hang out the whole show, which is pretty fucking awesome.
The whole... That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to put this out there, not, you know, because we love all of our guests that have come on, but the best ones are the ones that hang out and get into conversations and talk about the topics and everything. It's like that. The other one, like, so many people are. I'm going to call in for 10 minutes. I'm going to talk about me, and then all right, you guys go do your thing. It's like, and that's cool.
Right?
I appreciate that. We appreciate having guests because we do a show every week, you know. So we need a guest every week, but you know, it's always nice to have.
Performance is. When I went to university, speaking about education, performance and movement really saved my life on some level because before I studied performing arts, I really didn't know how to think or even how to formulate my thoughts. So when I actually brought movement into my intellect and my thought pattern, wow, that's when I really started to learn. So this is how...
You know, it's funny how you mentioned movement and the simulation of thought patterns and things. It's necessary. We're supposed to be out. We're supposed to get rigorous physical activity every day. We're supposed to get in the sun and sweat. And it stimulates us, not just our bodies in multitudes of ways, but it stimulates our brains in ways that we don't even fully understand yet. It increases. I mean, they found thousands of years ago back, you know, not to harp back on the Shaolin thing, but they did. They found thousands of years ago that the students that were, they had kids falling asleep in class. So he makes these kids get up and start doing exercises through class. And they figure out that these kids have better aptitude, better cognition, better recall. Everything across the board increased. And everybody starts thinking, well, what's going on with this guy's kids, you know, why are they so much smarter now all of a sudden than everyone, you know, and that's what they traced it to, is he was making them do exercises so they wouldn't fall asleep in his boring class, you know, and so then it's that simple, you know.
It's so much easier to train the body than it is to train the mind, you know, and that's one thing in the army that I learned about, and I didn't really get it until I started practicing Kung Fu. But it's like they train the body as hard as they can because every time your body's like, I can quit. And they're just like, it's mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. Your physical body will give up way before you do. You know what I mean? Like you can just keep the mind. When you give up in your mind, then you're just done.
But my physical body gets to a part where, like, I start to my vision starts to go, and I start throwing up and falling all over, because I've been, you know, just keep running, and then, then I puke and pass out.
thank God you're living in this century, because, like, 9 centuries ago, evolution would have probably got rid of you. You know what I mean? But that's what's cool about this life. You know what I mean? But that's what
people like me can thrive in our new environment that's, like, good for soft people.
And my son, he's such a softy, and I'm like, oh, I love him to death, you know what I mean? And I have to let that go, my expectations of him. I'm like, man, he's just him, you know what I mean? I just got to try.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
We're all our own people, you know, and we have to love each other regardless, you know. That's just how it is, because the universe is designed it that way. It really takes all kinds, you know. It really does. We need each other.
This is the principles I've been formulating with the Hidden Hero, really. It's just taking this aspect of who we are, really, and just exercising that, as opposed to learning a form, like a traditional yoga form or anything like this. It's getting beyond form, and it's going back to the formless imagination. Really, that's where the creativity happens. Yeah.
Right, because really all those things are...
Go ahead, Ben.
I was just going to say, really all of those things are just little constructs or exercises that we make ourselves do so we can use that part of our brain instead of just opening up the broad spectrum to the world that, you know, of the universe of imagination out there and using it, you know. I'm thinking of a never-ending story now.
Never-ending
story. Choose your adventure.
Dog.
Right.
I pose a question into me when you're talking about over there. What are your feelings towards America? Because I feel like the movement of the 70s was too soon, or the 60s was too soon, but I feel like we're having, like, a newer movement, especially among artists. People want to do art. People want to try new things. They don't want to work much, you know what I mean? It's like, what do you guys think of us over here compared to you guys over there? Like, what is your honest opinion?
From Australia?
Yeah, from Australia. Like, I kind of want to know.
There's an incredible movement going on globally with the artistic imagination, right? But then I think from what I'm seeing from America, you guys have got such a reason to really revolt against the sort of Big Brother aspect of what is going on. So I think there's an incredible ability, and most of my successful projects have come from Americans, because you guys have got this real good reason to protest, to actually bring out your imagination and creativity more than ever before. Whereas in Australia, we're just sort of kicking back, everything's kind of, you know, we're at the bottom of the world here, so people are not quite as motivated. So I think there's, you know, from my point of view, I'm loving to connect with my American brothers. But on some aspects, I think there's a lot we can learn from here in Australia, the integrity and the friendship that I'm building here in Australia. So for me, it's a great balance between connecting with the Americans and seeing how, like, you guys are just going for it on the aspect of even the comic industry, the movie industry, and then at the same time, I'm enjoying the groundedness that my local community gives me here. So that's fun.
Yeah. I totally understand what you mean. I've got that kind of feeling, you know what I mean? Yeah, the same one you do, just to kind of, like, go out and do things, you know what I mean? Experience.
And I was warned. I was kind of warned to some of my friends, were like, you know, the truth of what I heard from the Americans is they're, you know, mostly talk. But I've found that just be too general, and I connected with the right people. And I think a bit of both would be awesome, you know, just having the ability to promote ourselves like Americans do so well, and also have that grounded integrity that someone like Hugh Jackman, you know, sort of, what do they call him, the good boy of Hollywood, you know, he really is quite a grounded character. So I think, you know, that combination of an artist is pretty sexy, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I
totally understand what you mean. Go ahead.
I got two things I want to say on that, and the first is that I just saw the new Wolverine movie, and that was really good. Hugh Jackman,
so
you mentioned it, so I brought it up. Right.
So much better than the first, right?
Right. It was very cool. Check that out. Hugh Jackman is very good at it. And then you mentioned, you know, just how Americans have a lot of reason right now at this point, you know, to want to rebel against everything, that not just the Big Brother aspect, but just, you know, all of the things that they just decide to do for us and tell us that we're going to do this and you guys are going to be okay with it, and we do, and we see that in a lot of the different arts, you know, maybe not so much in, you know, I guess we see it in the music, but in more the angsty music, but I do see it in a lot of the literature and a lot of the artwork that's coming out. You know, there's the people are unhappy, and one thing that is like that has always struck me is like, is everyone that you talk to, or everyone that I talk to anyway, seems like an intelligent, you know, well thought person, that they all seem to share similar points of views, and so you're wondering, well, where are all of these dumbasses that seem to be making up the majority that they keep telling us is, you know, voting this way? I don't know. But does that make any sense? We're all of these people. Everybody I talk to seems really cool and really intelligent and down to earth, you know. But one thing I've noticed, like working here in the hospital, and we have lots of international people coming through here on a daily, weekly basis, and one of the views that has been imparted to me by a variety of different people is that people have a very limited perspective of Americans and other places, and so we do seem to exude, you know, what they see on the news from our politicians talking, and then in the, you know, in the media and the entertainment in movies and whatnot, but for the most part, I mean, it's like they don't know that what the majority of Americans actually think and feel like, you know, because we're not represented to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Taxation without representation.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
No, and I think that, you know, I really, and I don't want to harp on it, but I think that people could try to channel, you know, their artistic expressions to show the listeners, the viewers, the readers, that we really should stand up and do something about it, you know.
Well,
they've got our attention.
I guess I'm going to harp on it a little bit more, but it's like Mother Teresa, whenever she said, never invite me to an anti-war rally, invite me to an anti-peace rally. So by spreading, you know, and spreading love instead of anti, whatever you're anti usually amps up that. Like, we've had a war on drugs. What do we have now? More drugs, you know what I mean?
More,
drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's like the manifesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't say I don't want, because then you're still saying won't. You're still putting a lot of energy to that, so you have to shift your perspective. And
Well, just like in psychology, I don't know if anyone's ever studied psychology. It's very basic, but it's called, holy shit, I had it, and I just forgot it because I was high.
It's called a psychology called holy shit.
An aha moment right there.
Yeah, it's okay. Called a self-fulfilling prophecy. Basically, if you think you're dumb and you think you can't do it, well, you're probably going
to
be dumb and that you can't do it. Yeah, exactly.
Mind
right.
over matter.
Yeah. And that's because your conscious thought takes things your subconscious brain takes things very literally, and that's why it's the self-affirming things, like you say to yourself, I can do this, the little engine, the could attitude, that's how that works, because it digs into your subconscious and tells you, I can do that. But if you say things that are like, oh, there's no way I can do this, and you're setting yourself up for failure, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, you've got basically, from what I'm seeing now, you've got multiple realities that are happening in different timelines. So you've got these aspects and these dramas going on globally, But at the same time, depending on what you focus on, you can shift your reality, essentially. As
the storyline.
Really. Right. You can shift. I just posted a great article about the art of jumping timelines. So, you know, it's quite a fascinating time. I'm seeing what dramas are playing out both in America, and I'm also seeing globally what's happening. And then, as you guys have been saying, it just depends on what you focus on. That vibration, that focus, will really determine the reality. So we're looking at multiple realities here. So it's really quite fascinating.
Well, yeah. Quantum mechanics talks about that.
Yeah.
Like, if you have like 12 different menu items, you've actually ordered every single one of those items until you actually see them, until it actually becomes reality. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah, and you know, we're seeing movements like this all around the world. So, Occupy Wall Street was a part of that movement, and I'm curious of how this radio station even happened. Could you share a little of the mythos of that to me?
Go ahead, Ben. Tell us.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're not affiliated with the Occupy movement. You know, we can all have our different opinions on how they were going about what they were doing and how effective it was. But we can definitely agree that that money isn't going where it's supposed to. But that's not the focus. I think the focus really is that people needed to – we want people to get up, go out of their houses, go into their community, you know, get out of your house – because it's good for you, but also because then you can spend your money there in your community where it stays there and it can fix your economy. If you shop at local restaurants, go to see local bands, you know, to go to the film festivals when they're in your town. You support everything that you can.
Fantastic.
That doesn't send the money out of state, you know, and that's the financial aspect of it. But then on a social level, it gets you up. It gets you out of your house, which is good for you and healthy, and it gets you interacting and doing fun things. I mean, there's awesome shit going on all the time. Great bands, you know, great cool film projects, great authors, you know, writers that are doing live poetry or prose readings all over town. You know, it's like you just have to not sit on your couch and watch TV, you know, not go to McDonald's and spend all the money out of state. And it seems like very simple concepts to us, but we wrapped it up with the Occupy Underground because that just seemed to fit our purpose. You know, you want to occupy your underground. Wherever you are, go out. And, you know, the meaning of life is to live and go experience and do as many things as you can because that's good for you. You will be happy and healthy and live a full life, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
And here's the thing about that. People are scared. People, they read the media, they're like, they're scared to go out. You know, I mean, they're scared
to do this. Can we hit pause for one sec?
Of course.
Is Mary here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
I
was making sure because I've had so many episodes that you were on mute, and then it just occurred to me, and I'm like, okay, oh God, if I had her on mute for like ever, she's gonna fucking kick me in the balls. I'm sorry, Corey. You go ahead. No.
I'm not kidding.
Balls. Break your glasses, maybe.
I was gonna say, and I'll wrap it up so into a pretty little package, so I don't stay on too long. But you brought up a state that it comes into your state's income. This is the United States of America. States, they act as countries, which keeps the government, the big government, from gaining too much power. And then, yeah, you want all the money to go into your state to fund your state. Some states are poor, some states are not, because companies can move from a different state because they're offering different tax incentives. You know what I mean? It's like put your money into your state to where they want to stay in your state.
And we're so coming out of this. I love this name, Occupy Underground. This is the whole motivation for the Hidden Hero Project, really, was to get people interactive with occupying their own authentic hero or their own authentic character. Really, that's what it's all about, right? Now, whether you're an artist, whether you're, you know, whether there's, I mean, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has just applied to become a political party here in Australia. So, you know, I think all round we're just seeing this action of ordinary people stepping up into their most authentic self. So this is exciting.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of like-minded people that are having the same thought, it seems. You talk to a lot of people and they're like, yes, this is what I'm trying to do with my project, you know. And it's definitely there is a unified consciousness. It's like life does speak to you if you listen to it. You pay attention to how things make you feel. you know, and what your gut instinct tells you to do in those situations. I don't know. It's there. It's hard to wrap up. You can listen to it, you know, and it's funny. It's like a lot of people are hearing this right now. This is the our natural ebb and flow of things in the universe and society. I think we are on this spot where we're about to push and see some positive change.
Yeah, absolutely. And crowdfunding has allowed such an amazing platform now to be able to fund your own projects via the generosity of normal citizens. These crowdfunders are a revolution in themselves. So this is awesome.
And the technology connects us so well to each other. You know what I mean? I'm friends from everywhere around the world. I get to see what they like. They get to see what I like. I can email anyone. Technology has brought us to a point where, like you're seconds away from anyone in the world. You know what I mean?
Yes. I don't even have a phone these days. I just use Skype. So this is technology.
Right, because you don't need to.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we should play a little more music and then come back and talk some more. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to play. All right. Last night, let's talk for another minute. Last night, Mary and I were at Blackbird. That was last night, right?
Yeah, it was last night. It was for the poetry slam. And we got to be judges.
Yeah, we got to be judges. Okay, Mary and I were
judges
for the Albuquerque slam poetry contest to decide who would go advance to go do something cool. And it was Sada One Love won.
Yeah, she did. By 0.2, that was us.
Yeah, it was.
It was a lot of fun.
Okay, so we dual judged it, right? Because there's two cards. There's like the seven.
You DJ'd that?
Yeah, we DJ'd it. We did it because you've got the seven and then the 0.5 card. So I had a card and Mary had a card. And we would sit there and like show each other our cards and like incline towards what we were thinking. And then the other one would like adjust to compensate. We did it. I think we rocked that shit from like the very first one. We were all over it. We were good judges. Like we weren't always the lowest score. A handful of times, other people scored lower than us. They told us to be critical, and we was critical.
We
didn't give anybody. Nope. I don't think anybody got a 9 point nothing, did they, Mary?
Didn't we give Sada a 9.1?
Maybe on the very last round she might have, but the first round she got like an 8.7 or something, and we gave
six.
Yeah,
it was a six.
Right, but we were.
Play that funky music, white boy.
All right. Well, anyway, I had a
Ben Durazzo.
Yeah, we were hanging out with Ben Durazzo. Do you remember him, Corey?
Oh. Yeah, you know what? Actually, funny story. Guess who I heard on Bandora today? Ben Durazzo, the same one that we've gotten on our video with Willie Parks. I heard that today on Pandora. Got super geek.
That's awesome. So he was really cool, you know. I wanted to play a little. This is instrumental, and the thing that's cool about this guy is he's got this wicked machine, and he has all of these preloaded sounds in there. And he's charismatic, and he's interactive with the crowd. And so, like, he tells you how his machine works and what he's going to do with it. And he's going to make live beats on the stage, like right in front of you. And he's got different sounds and beats to work with. And so then he's got other people that get up on stage. And these are, like, local guys. And he's from California. So it's like they haven't had a lot of time to work together, obviously. And he gets up, and he, like, basically makes a freestyle beat. And then they're rapping over the top of it. Sounded really cool, you know, and so I'm going to play this one. It's instrumental. It's a beat, and he's making it all, all right now and recording it, and this is how it turns out. Here we go. Ben Durazzo, California.
mind. I'm a black intellect, but I'm refined. Precision like a bullet, target bound. Just living like a hooker, the Harlem sound. Now, when I say the Harlem, you know I need the hot. Heat of the equator, the drop that's in the pot.
Jalik, Jalik, you wind up your hip.
Captain of the poets, I'm the number 7 pick. Lick, 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 boy, on your back side. Lick, 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 boy, on your back side. Listen to the beta shot, he lets it glide. Stick to earthly body, heaven's on my side. Even in Santa Domingo, when I got a gringo. We got Mike, when do we go? Know a little nigga who can rhyme when you ask me. Short, dark, and plus his voice is ass like.
One for the trouble, two for the bass. You know the style tip, it's time to flip this. I like my beats hard like two, they old shit. Steady eating booty MCs like cheese dip. My man, I'll be sure he's in effect mode. To have a crush on doing for men vote. It's not like Honey Dick will want to get with me, but just in case I own my condoms and see your feet. Now the formula is this, me tipping Ali. For those who can't count, it goes 1, 2, 3. The
Ram right,
a big up is who I be. Brothers find it hard to do, but never me. Some brothers try to dip for Malik. You see him bitching me, not care about them DBMC. My shit is hitting. Trini Gladiator, anti-hesitator. Shahid push the beta. From here to Grenada. Mr. Energetic, who me sound for.
Some scientists and I insist you get a rhyme laminated.
Hey, yo,
your face off the jump. The thunder is Thundercat with the paw. Kung Fu gripping the competition to give you what you want. Hands ringing the swords with electrical cords. Break walls, slamming big ass 2x4. Super War, L is destroying the sun. The throne of many Voltron characters collapse to one. The next episode I explode. Leave you with no place like Cobra Commander attacking G.I. Joe. You know, vertical eye back slapping the neck guy. Popping on my Starship Enterprise. Surprise, a flight going with the mutants at table 9. Slinging tasks with task one, one task on mine. Hitting the hook with the grappling and hook. And Chuck Norris, the animated chorus to leave you shook. The crook look, I took a crook's hook and made you look like a fucking nerd.
Word? Animated, your man's invaded by the still life. Who kill mice and will strike the weak MCs? You can't evade it. Our culture's been examined by some scientists and I insist you get a rhymes laminated. Animated, your man's invaded by the still life. Who kill mice and will strike the weak MCs? You can't evade it. Our culture's been examined by some scientists and I insist you get a rhymes laminated.
Superman is looking for a super girl. A Boris and Natasha looking for that moose and squirrel. A man who owns everything like the Duke of Earl. And soon I will rule the world. It's one nation in the Pangea Project. So hand me an object to lay the smackdown with. Ripping Sacktown, bitch. We're animated. I'm contaminated with the kryptonite. 2 for 1, bitch. We do my late shows at Nick at Night and rip the mic with flames like we've been through hell. I rhyme with some live mannequins, but not Kim Cattrall. Don't get it twisted. It's self and linguistics. Together we'll be getting more nookie than Limp Bizkit. We're backpackers who slap rappers. Our B-boys who destroy like LS. Make your fam jealous. Name ain't Kanye. There's nothing you can tell us. The overweight king of sack, but you can call me Elvis. I'm animated. My first day in paradise.
about my guitar and my pipe, and I promise to make my way, I'll make my way. Ooh, I found paradise, cliff diving in Waimea Bay. Mahalo for my stay. Never thought I'd leave this paradise, but too many things in my way. Never thought I'd leave this desert life, but I know I'll go back someday, I'll go back someday. Ooh, I found paradise, catching my first waves. Ooh, the ocean feels so nice. Mahalo.
That was Dan Gargiulo, the Glass Man. And, okay, so we started off with Dendrazin, and so I felt like inclined to play some, to throw a little Task One in there, too, because I know those guys are friends. And and I like Task One a lot, so I threw that in there. And
that
some Tribe Called Quest. Yeah.
Okay. No, I like him. He's just a geek, and it makes me feel okay to be a geek. You know what I mean? I can be a cool and a geek at the same time, and it makes me
happy. Oh, geek is cool. Yeah, it just took people a while to figure that out. We knew we were cool years ago, like even back in middle school, and it was like, why are these like jerks picking on us? They don't realize how fucking cool we are, you know?
Yeah. One day they will. They'll get it. Now
yeah,
it's cool to be a geek. I'm like, maybe I should.
That's right. Fucking A.
What's going on? Okay,
right, so
I'm unmuted now.
You're unmuted. Hey, you're back.
Hello.
Okay,
back.
Hello. All right, so we had the topic that we had picked for today was, these generally come from like random phone conversations that I get into with Mary throughout the week, but it was beauty. That was what we picked. I was trying to say fashion for some reason. I don't know why, but that's kind of, you know, it's part of it. It's part of it. But yeah, beauty. What constitutes beauty in society? What got us talking about it was I think we had like two things we were talking about. Was one, the cost that people go to maintain, you know, their appearance for whatever reason, and then also, you know, just the differences between them. You know, the somebody's getting excited about this. So, but also, you know, that the genuine inner beauty that comes out of people that shows in their personality and radiates through their skin and their pores, how much of an effect that can have, you know, in terms of influencing their outward appearance
perceiving
as well.
Perceiving to the senses and why. I mean, that's why. That's beauty. It's like perceiving to the senses. Like, sight, taste. I mean, food can be beautiful. Just looking at it or tasting it can be beautiful. I mean, it's that, like, that vibe that makes you zing. You're like, oh, that's beautiful.
Right.
And that's beauty. But it can come from within sight. It radiates. Like, people have, like, an enormous amount of light. You can tell people who are, you know, just radiating that, and that's the inner beauty. And then, you know, you can see some who, you know, try to make that, like, with what they wear or something, but you meet them, and automatically, you know, you kind of feel that it's not quite shining. There's a dull, like, you know, there's blocks and stuff. And, you know, and then also the sex appeal thing, too, because, like, you know, like, what we're told is beautiful, as in, like, what a man or what a woman should look like to be, like, appeasing to the sexes. That's what sells. That's what's on TV. That's what, like, you know, on the billboards and things like that. And it's really not healthy.
Not at all.
No.
Yeah.
I found my exploration into the dance of darkness at university, Buto, the Japanese form, was actually, the beauty I found was actually exploring my dark side, exploring what I felt to be ugly about myself. And once I gave permission to feel and express that, that's when my true beauty came through, really. And I'm seeing everyone around trying to be so perfect if they just allow themselves to just relax and be themselves even more, whatever that looks like, then the beauty can then shine through, really.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah, I know. I completely agree. I think that we block ourselves up with it, and then there's that overcompensation is what I see with a lot of people. You know, with they mad expense on what people spend on shoes and clothes and then hairstyles and the upkeep of everything, and then all the accessories that go along that with that, which include these days to be like cell phones and shiny cars and little dogs that they carry around in their arms that could easily fit in their vaginas, and it's all become like part of this, like, for this facade that you have to exude. I'm a beautiful person, and it's really a mass overcompensation. And for just relaxing, you know, and fucking letting what's in you start to shine out, and it'll radiate through your pores and your skin and your eyes and your smile, and you'll be a happier person because you don't have to waste all your time and money, you know, trying to make yourself look pretty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just in itself right there. It's just, is the new paradigm coming through from what I'm seeing, just giving ourselves permission. You know, my whole project's essentially doing that as well to another level. And I think for me, the point was dance of darkness, this performance dance I studied at university, really shifted myself to just stop caring about what other people think about me and just totally involve whatever that feeling is, if it's some ugly aspect of myself, giving myself permission to dance with it or to move or to give it expression. And it's totally liberating, hey, once you give yourself permission to just see yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
and
good topic.
And then there's, you know, just how people buy into, you know, what they see and what they're told, you know, they should try to look like Mary was saying, you know, it's just the crazy, the extent of what people are willing to do
to
themselves.
Too. It's a fucking distraction, dude. Like, really,
yeah,
it is. And then I think it also has to go with, like, freaking, like, just, like, being a female and a woman and, like, all this, like, ideal image that you're supposed to look at and stuff. I mean, it turns us, it makes us focus on that instead of what we, like, really are, like, the feminine aspect and, like, you know, taking on the leadership and helping balancing things out. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, we can throw this at him and this at him. And there's not really a balance. It's like the feminine has really been suppressed, and it's a way, also, I feel, that they use to keep us distracted.
Another one. We keep coming across those. We're going to have to, like, this is going to be, like, do we have seasons in radio? Are we, like, building up for the finale where we take, like, or we take all of these topics together and show, this is not the free country they're telling you it is. They're madly controlling you on all of these levels we've been talking about all season. Yeah.
Highlights. We can just do highlights.
We're occupying this right now. We're occupying the shit out of this. You know what I mean? And that's the thing with Occupy that I felt. You know how we've always tried to say, like, we don't have an affiliation with Occupy on the Ground. Occupy, they pretty much just sat there and did really nothing, you know, said, hey, we're fed up with it. But Occupy Underground Radio is about occupying your shit. Go to your local places, say, I ain't going to pay for your fucking $50 t-shirt. Fuck you, $5 at the Gap. I mean, you know, $5 at the local thrift store. I got this, you know what I mean? You occupy a country by just taking that shit over, you know what I mean? Like, you don't just sit there and say, hey, I've occupied Germany, hi.
Right, and I'm not trying. Yeah, you know, we're not trying to talk shit about the Occupy people. I just, it's just, it's like you have to think about what you're doing, and media is, you know, is a huge influence, and really, I mean, you're getting attention, but it's negative attention, and all it really shows is that you're sitting in front of buildings, and it doesn't tell, you know, what you're hoping to accomplish or why you think that's productive, and. And we didn't, and we're not about, you know, sitting anywhere unless it's like actually, unless you're sitting at like maybe a poetry read or in a, you know, in a bar listening.
I don't know. I went to the March against Monsanto. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. From your activist point of view, what do you think that accomplished? Okay. Well, you were down there. Did you paint yourself up?
It spread awareness, dude. It spread awareness. Yeah. There's a lot of people who didn't know, and they looked into it, and that's what it takes. I mean, it's just a little bit, and then it is. It spreads awareness, and I think awareness
that
is really
that.
Important.
It's like,
because,
it makes people think, okay, what are these people pissed off about?
The media for that at all. So it was, like, people in the community, like, what are these guys, you know, and then, like, friends at work and stuff, and they start looking into it, you know, and then they're like, hey, this isn't cool, you know. It spreads awareness.
All right, so I've got these people that have been hanging out across the street from the hostel for, like, the last 2 weeks now, and they've got a sign that says, shame on New Mexico AIDS service. And I don't know what they're complaining about. They're building AIDS housing right over there, and so they're complaining about something. And I've seen them every day because I go out on the porch and I drink tea. I sit on the porch in the rocking chair and I smoke and I drink some sweet tea. And I look at these people and they stand there holding a sign and they've got umbrellas to keep the sun away. And I have never once been inspired to go inside or even across the street I haven't inclined towards the internet.
Yeah, but you're talking about
it
on your radio show right now. Now people are like, why are those guys sitting
right
across the street?
So some people are out there. Let's see.
Even though you don't know.
It's okay. There's some people across the street, and they're pissed off about something, and it has to do with New Mexico AIDS Service. So if y'all are interested in that type of shit, you might want to look into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the We got the movement in Australia here a little while later, you know, with the Occupy movement. I remember standing in the middle of the city here in Melbourne, and we took over the whole street, essentially. And I think what I felt in that movement was another level of my sovereignty as a human being. And just for that moment, a collective group came together. We didn't know what we were going to do, but we just came together and took over the street. And it really shifted this level of, hey, we may not know the answers, but if we get together like you guys have done this radio station, if we get together like the Avengers got together and made $1.5 billion, you know, if we do get together, we can collectively change things as opposed to trying to just do it ourselves. You know, I think that was the message I got from the movement.
And here's my thing. Like, I would never downtrod what it was. It was people who were so fed up that they didn't know what else to do. So they did that. They stood up there. They got together, and it was beautiful in its own sense. But it was very knee jerk. But I think it was exactly the first reaction that we needed to take. And I see it manifesting more intelligently. People are doing it, you know, in a better way now, you know what I mean? It's not just, hey, we're fed up, but now people are throwing that purpose out there. And so, I mean, it's sometimes all you have to do is just stand up, and it's really created a ripple in this country, and I really feel a lot different about this country than I did even 6 years ago. Like, I see the positive, you know, I see the people trying to make the change, and I was wondering if you felt the same way since then.
Yes, yeah, I've seen that too with my visit to America last year to work with some groups, some Qigong groups, the Supreme Science Qigong Foundation and whatnot. I've seen this movement, and I really admire that about my American friends, really, is this level of, artistic sophistication almost, and you've got so much ability to collaborate now, and this, and the, I'm going to go back to the comic books again. They've kind of created this platform, this mythos, where, hey, we get to a point now. I don't think it was an accident that the Avengers made the biggest gross or whatever, you know, in comic movies in a decade. I think it was essentially this movement, we have to get past being an individual and work collectively. I'm having a real challenge with that in Australia, but thanks to my American friends, I'm taking on that, you know, that challenge artistically to work and bring people together here in Australia that hasn't happened before. So I'm seeing it not only myself, I'm definitely seeing it across the global arena as well. So, yeah, exciting.
For sure. And you were talking about Qigong and I think doing things like meditation and Qigong and yoga, Tai Chi, you know, Pagua, whatever you choose to do, those types of things really do add to that. But we were talking about what you exude that inner beauty too. I think that those are all hugely beneficial for helping you awaken your mind and your imagination and let yourself be, you know, that beautiful person that everyone is on the inside, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting away. I mean, that was the inspiration for this current project, The Hidden Hero. It really was seeing the frustration from the youth, like the Occupy movement, and seeing that frustration and realizing that each individual has to become the revolution by occupying themselves. I mean, I can give this reflection with you guys talking on the show. You guys, I can feel you're being yourself. It's not like I'm coming on here and just promoting my product. It's nothing like that. We're just hanging out, having conversation. And I think it starts with the individual. You know, it starts with the individual and then saying, okay, and this is what my project's about, of course, you know, this is claiming the artistic understanding of who we are. And then from that foundation and that sort of galactic sovereignty, I like to say, from that galactic understanding, then we can come together in groups and collaborate in ways that we haven't worked previously. And this is really exciting, and I'm seeing a lot, there's a lot of, a lot of green light to collaboration is the word. We saw that in the classic comic genre, but also in real life now, we're seeing this aspect of us feeling isolated, and us and the masses being isolated through the powers of be or technology, but we use this technology now to actually not feel isolated, to actually collaborate and get past our own, our own limitations and just collaborate in a way the world's never seen. And I'm seeing a movement in America especially that's leading the way in that. And quite frankly, as we see in all the generation of artists and musicians that create poetry, it all comes from these revolutions. And you guys have got this amazing opportunity to create art and create music as a result of the attempts of controlling the masses. I don't see that happening. I'm very optimistic. I just feel that this is actually going to continue to spark collaborations. And here we are, and I'm talking about this project, and you guys have created a radio station that brings people together as well. This is, you know, the revolution right here. So.
No, I think you can see it on multiple levels. I mean, even just like here, looking around in Albuquerque, you can see how people are networking and working together to try to build themselves up. And then you see that on a wider scale across the states. And I think, you know, more global scale, stepping back even further. And it's just going to keep continuing to blossom and fill in like that until we're working as like a unified network. I think maybe that's overly optimistic and hopeful, but I don't think so, you know.
That sounds awesome. I
think we're at a point where it's like we're most places are run by a small handful of people, you know, their government or their infrastructure, and the masses tend to feel differently. And we want to, you know, we want to get together, you know, and you know, spread our you know, spread ourselves out and be humanity. And I think that's the underlying thing. And they're trying to hold us back from that, you know, but it's going to blossom and come to fruition, because that's what the majority of people want, is not to have to fight with each other over things anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not scarcity consciousness. It's not abundance of everything. really?
Sure. Nice. you live in Melbourne. I mean, do you have a do you find yourself as somebody who's creative in the in an artistic community? Do you have find like a networking and interaction with people in other types of art? Do you have friends that are you know musicians and filmmakers and writers?
Yeah, I do.
I do.
I've had a challenge. There's a major sort of scarcity consciousness here and tall poppy syndrome. So I've aligned with local people, but I've also, like I was saying, I think my greatest breakthrough was when I aligned with a lot of people internationally. So now working globally, I'm able to come back to my community. As of actually yesterday, I decided after a decade of living in Asia that I'd settle in Melbourne again. And I'd really offer my skills back to this community because I feel now more than ever it's time to come back to community and come back to our grassroots and collaborate with family, with friends and community. So there's a phenomenal artistic talent in this town, but it's a long conversation, but essentially I think the people are... they're not claiming their artistic talent. They're just sort of sitting back in the shadows. So a lot of my collaboration and projects I'm planning, including a initiation program with some artists and Indigenous leaders, will involve that rite of passage that I never had in school. A lot of traditions have. In Africa, I believe they have to kill a lion as their first initiation into the tribe. You know, those sorts of old school ways with the modern. I think for me, Melbourne's just awesome. We've got a whole handful of artists here, and a lot of what I'm doing now is just bringing them together, like you've done with this radio station, bringing them together and just getting past our own issues and just collaborating in that performance and community. It's wonderful.
Yes, and this is. Would you think that, from having the different network of people in this huge artistic community, I mean, that did it have an influence in your ability to the whole progress of bringing your project to the point that it's gotten to already? And you mentioned, you know, the huge impact it had networking with people over here, but and then networking with people out there, was there like a snowballing effect? Like you get out there and you're interacting with the people out there, the artistic creative people out there, and then you meet other people, and then everything kind of expands and goes from there. Almost like you step on this path, and life just affirms you're doing the right thing and takes you with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you said it well. You know, it's like I feel I have this mission. I like to give myself missions, and I've got this mission here, and my life's mission really is what I call it. And it's got to do with this, obviously, this comic book collaboration with Activated Heroes. And essentially, working within the community here, I'm having definitely a snowball effect because there's a point where it's just as simple. It could be a 1% change, and someone says, wow, if this guy's doing it, well, maybe I can go further in my dream as well. I might want to be a writer, or you might want to just sit around watching, you know, movies and smoking joints, whatever is your flavor. It's like I think there's a point now snowball across the world where people are saying, oh man, we can actually live the life we want, we can be the hero of the story, we can actually get involved in the community, and we can raise funds by ourselves without going through the hoops of government funding. We can actually do crowdfunders, which is the next evolution of artistic ways to raise money. And I think for me that was the snowball effect. When I realized I had to actually just do this myself, and I registered a foundation in the States last year, and that's great. But there were too many hoops that I had to jump through for the foundation, whereas now it's just this snowball effect where I'm just going to do it. I'm going to create my first comic. I've been funding this project myself for 3 years. This is the first time I've asked for help for people in actually seeing it go to the next level. Other than that, it's going to be done, and I think that's it. Once you've got that vibration and you just don't give up, like, there's no way, there's nothing else I'm here to do. This is my life's mission. And once that mission lands, it's just like, and you see it, you feel it, you embody it, you have the principles behind you of the secret of the universe, you just keep with that vibration. Essentially, you just keep with that timeline, keep with that vibration and that timeline. You feel it. You don't have to be abundant with finance. You just have to be abundant with the emotion and the feeling of it. You keep with that feeling. The universe will align things. They will get you and attract you to the right people. You just have to be consistent. That's really the, you know, in my life, rule. You just have to keep consistent with that emotion and the vision, and there's no such thing as fail unless you decide to give up, and, you know, that's totally up to you.
Yeah, I think life tends to, like you said, affirm that you're on the right course by placing things in your path that seem to be just what you need at that time, you know. It's interesting, the complex design of things.
For Australia, the whole thing, you don't make it unless you've been to America. That was the game I had to play. So once I came back from America, there was a different level of respect for my project here in Australia. And it's all just a matter of perspective. But the whole world's going through this shift where we're actually becoming our own. We're becoming our own star of our own movie. You know, we're becoming our own hero or heroine. It's just the reality of where we're headed as a global culture.
That is, yes, an awesome way of looking at it, becoming our own heroes. I like that. Mary's already got a cape. She was wearing it last week. I know, happen to know that.
I have a boots too. I got some pretty cool superhero powers as well.
Yeah.
What would your superhero power be, Mary?
My superhero
power? I know mine. You go first, Mary, because he asked you, not me. Yeah. No, he asked you, not me. But I was just throwing out that I know what mine would be. Okay. Yeah.
Superhero power is I've tuned into the undercurrent. I can read minds.
Oh, okay.
Read minds. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I'm pretty good at it.
That'd be awful.
That would be awful. I wouldn't want to be inside anybody else's mind. That's just disgusting. Sorry.
No, you know what I mean? Like, you could use it for, like, it would make things lame, in my opinion. Like,
tell us why.
It would make communication easier.
What about you guys? Have you guys got a, what's your superpower ability?
Me?
Yeah, Ben.
Okay, I would want to be able to regulate my body's electrical field so that I could fry flies when they land on me. And see, that's the thing, and I shouldn't take pleasure in it, because I know that all life is precious and created equal, and that my life is my entire lifespan is no less noteworthy or worthwhile than the 2 days just experienced by that fly. I understand that. And I could never go full Buddhist because of it, because I do take a wicked little pleasure in they're fuckers, aren't they, man? They come and they land on you repetitively, and it's just, and then they swell up on you, and then they take off when you try to shoot them away, and they come right fucking back. Yeah. So yeah, that's easy, hands down. That's my superpower. I want to
thought flight.
That's right.
Oh, that'd be a good one to have when you're in Asia. The mosquitoes would definitely help you there.
Right. I can come in very handy in a group of people, like when we're camping, because that's just going to work on mosquitoes too and other annoying insects. You know it. It wouldn't be lame and just work on flies. That's not how superhero powers work.
People
they evolve. Everything changes and evolves.
They'd be like, hey Ben, you want to go camping with us?
That's right. Yeah, I got my
forget the
Citadel
candle. We got Ben. It's
gonna bring Ben.
Right. So what would you be, Corey? Since you don't want to read anybody's mind.
I mean, reading minds. I'm whooped up on a game all the time, dude. Of course, I got lightning speed.
So the same reason why I wouldn't want to read minds is the same exact reason why I wouldn't want to stop time, because I would fuck way more shit up than needs to be fucked up, like if I had those two superpowers. So I think mine would be, I'd just like to give people orgasms at will, like, you know what I mean? I think that'd be fun. Middle of a conversation that you're losing, just like, bam, orgasm. You can't wait when you're having an orgasm.
Isn't it Brazilian orgasm?
There was a movie Remember?
Orgasmo.
Matt and Trey Parker. Or Matt Stone and Trey Parker, yeah.
If they're listening, I got my idea from you guys. Thank you. Do you think they're
That's
listening?
That's right, yeah. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Good job on South Park here.
For like the first 17 seasons, and then you guys kind of threw off a little bit on that.
Right. How long have they been going now? Forever, it seems like.
Almost as long as The Simpsons. The Simpsons is still the longest cartoon going, but South Park's right up there.
Yeah, they're getting up there. So with like 10 minutes left in the live portion of the show, and everybody who's listening live, the show is going to end for you in 10 minutes. But then it keeps on going for everybody who listens later. So I would encourage you that if you listen live to later, you know, go back and then like click on it and jump ahead 2 hours and hear what we're going to do for the rest of the show because it's fun and you're missing out.
I like that we have our own subside. We have our own secret track like Green Day.
Yeah. It's the after party. It's the VIP section and you guys aren't invited until later. Right. Yeah. So, but before we get to that point, I would like, I want Andrew to tell everybody again, clearly the websites and how to find you on Indiegogo and how much money you're trying to get together and all of that pertinent stuff that we want to get people aware of about the Hidden Hero Project.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Ben. The Hidden Hero, well, you'll find us on Facebook. Then there's thehiddenhero.com, which is the main site, and that connects. Either one of those sites will connect you to the Indiegogo campaign. We're trying to raise $12K for the first issue. That includes the iPhone app and the comic book. I'm really excited. Thanks for having me, guys. I think it's time we definitely move past this sort of external idea of the superhero being somewhere else in another galaxy, and it's time we come to this galaxy and actually activate our own superhero abilities. And if you have a look at that, I'm happy any contribution, whether you just share the project with people. And if you listen to this program, this is, it's pioneering, as you guys have been touching on tonight. It's never been done before, and likewise, there's really good reason for us to occupy our own heroic nature.
For sure, yeah. It sounds like a lot of fun, and it sounds like it's it'll be a good experience too. I'm looking forward to seeing it come to fruition. I want to check it out. Sure. So we'll get all the links to those pages, and we'll share them on our Facebook page too to give you the access. And right, and even in the description of the post that we put up, I think you can link right from where it says, well, no, it only works on personal pages. See, Facebook's kind of stupid like that. It needs to work. We do. When we get to our Facebook episode where we're talking about Facebook, we have a lot of things. They should really, Facebook needs to listen to our show next week. What's Facebook's name?
Facebook?
Yeah.
/Facebook?
Not like MySpace had a Tom. we're not really talking.
Where the fuck is Tom? We couldn't get a Mark Zuckerberg.
No, it's Jesse Eisenberg. He's he's. Okay, we need Jesse Eisenberg to listen to our show next week and affect some change in Facebook, right?
Yeah, because we're gonna tell Facebook what the fuck is up.
That's right. That's for sure. Got a whole week to prepare our thoughts on that. I hope it's like people. We never say this early enough. Okay, so like here's the deal for the people listening. We do want you to call in and we want you to join in our spirited conversation. And we seem like we're very unscripted and formatted, and we are. And we throw things together at the last minute. and that's totally cool. But we generally, I mean, we have somebody call in and we talk to them and we play music back and forth, and then like, and during the second half of the show, we'll try to get into a topic, and that's like the perfect time to call in. It's like calling to share your thoughts with us because we want opinions, and then we can talk about that longer. Because what happens is like we have this topic, and then you know, there's three or four of us on here, and we all say what we think about it, and then it's like, okay, well, what else can we talk about? Because if there's nobody else to call in and say, well, this is what I think, you know, and give us other opinions. Because, see, the truth is that we all rub off on each other, and we exude energy, and the more time you spend together, the more you start to rub off on each other, and you can see things better from each other's points of view. So we don't have lots of arguments with each other over things, because we already know how each other feels about it. We understand their points of view because we respect them, and we've had time to figure all of that out between ourselves. So we need, you know, outside stimulation. Call in and share us your ideas. Tell us how
we need stimulation.
Smart or
call
stupid
us.
We are. Yeah, we need oral audio. Oh, shit. We need stimulation that we just biatch. That's funny.
Stimulator.
That's right.
Something to talk about.
It's our show, Stimulator.
And Occupy Underground Radio.
That's right.
So we were rude and we didn't even ask our guest, what would your superpower be? What would you do?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, I've created a whole page for that, actually. Mr. Multiverse. So, it's really not my ability is really to jump between multiverses, so timelines. The ability to be able to focus in on a timeline and then be able to jump to that vibrational existence. And
oh my
that's
God.
Essentially Mr. Multiverse. Yeah.
That's like the ultimate, because you've got infinite numbers of possibilities. Any possible outcome to any situation is represented in another timeline. So it's like God damn, you can do anything.
Yeah.
You just, you know, your house could be whatever house you want it to be. It's just at that moment, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now you know
that
why
would
I need
be,
about, you know, 30 episodes of a comic book to explain what I'm doing, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I really think that makes my superpower obsolete, because you can easily step into a timeline with no flies. And then what would I do, you know?
Yeah. See, I'm so good. No matter what plane of existence you need, everyone needs to orgasm. I guarantee it.
Okay. You think so? Even the six-figure one, or the one where we're all carrots?
Huh?
Legoland or Candyland? Because those are out there. I know it. Right. Okay, now I remember a conversation that Mary and I had at one point about the about Legoland versus Candyland. And we were going off of the concept that your imagination powers these environments. So we stole that, from the Neverending Story and applied it to Candyland and Legoland, and we were trying to decide which one would be bigger, you know, based off of people's imaginations and exponential growth. Do you remember this conversation, Mary?
Yeah, I do remember. You recorded it, didn't you?
Probably.
All I want to say is Candyland would give everybody type 2 diabetes. Just saying.
No, because in Candyland, it's special candy, and it doesn't really affect your...
That's right, and it's completely nutritious. Yeah, and it's healthy
and
for you.
And Candyland doesn't make it be nutritious. It just all tastes like candy.
Well, then, of course,
like
Candyland.
It has the vibe of, like, all the nutritious stuff.
You just eat the candy broccoli, and you have a nice candy salad.
Do you have a candy house? Candy
vibe? That's right.
Were you, like, cotton candy?
A candy
like
vagina?
The...
Is there a candy vagina? Please.
No, I don't know if people are made out of candy, though. But if you are,
it
have,
wouldn't
like,
be that fun, because then we'd like, you'd be easy
body.
To, you could murder people really easily and dispose of the body. Like just <eating. laughs> <'Cause there's laughs>
just throw some water on them, they'll melt.
That's right, for sure. All right, so we've got a little under 90 seconds left in the live broadcast, so we should thank everybody that listened and thank you, Andrew, for calling in. And we don't hang up yet, because we'll keep going afterwards.
Okay.
But thank you for joining us for sure.
You were saying something tonight.
And everybody should. Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No. What was I saying tonight?
I was going to say you were saying that like the show could last for an hour in the after party, possibly.
I don't know if that's even true, but we're going to find out. Let's push it to the limit. We're going to do this tonight. We're going
to
see how long
the
show will go
until
we cut this off. That's right. We're going to do it. We're going to have a raging after party. So definitely tune back in.
I've got a raging flu.
Tori always has a raging flu. But, thanks for listening and listening again later, and then just skip the first 2 hours and listen to the end of it, because that will still give us, like, a second listen on the show, which is pretty cool, because we like that. That looks good on our analytics and all of that.
It does. It looks nice when we have lots of listeners.
All right.
Our show is
seconds.
Featured.
Yeah.
Thank you
featured
for
on the homepage.
Everyone.
That's
yeah,
right.
We did.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Are
we done? I think
all
we're
right,
not,
so that was
done.
It.
Good night.
Yeah, we're done. We're in the after party. We're totally in the after party.
Oh, yeah.
Now, my little counter thing, because Blog Talk Radio has this weird leg, so my little counter thing still says that we have 40 seconds left, but the little voice already came on and was like 60 seconds, you know, 10 seconds. And then
yeah, I don't know.
We
who's
counted
right
it out.
Here.
And then it, but it changed color. Like, it changed color when
no,
it should have, according to the voice. And but this okay. Little thing's still counting down. I don't know. It's weird.
So we listen to
the
voice of Blog Talk.
This is the part where we first get into the after party and everybody gets to hear our thoughts on how the show went and any technical issues, which there really weren't any tonight. What do you think? Everything seemed to...
No,
to,
you did really well, Ben.
Yeah.
You did really well. The rest
here.
Of us sucked.
Right.
Oh,
yeah,
Corey,
I did.
You know what? Chicken butt.
Because that was all under
guess where
my
I'm,
control.
Guess where I'm at right now? I'm on my swing on the front porch, and it's a hammock swing, and it's got a footrest and a beer cozy
okay. And
a zipper pocket.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And I'm swinging.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell
she
you.
She has a zipper pocket? What the shit?
What the shit? Does she have a fanny pack? What the shit? You know where I am right now?
You're on the roof of the hospital.
I'm standing on the roof. I'm looking over Albuquerque. And I'm just going to throw this out for the people listening that I have I've got the coolest pad in town. If I look to my right, I can see the entire skyline of Albuquerque, which is actually, you know, pretty big central. And then I've got a perfect view of the Sandia Mountains, and then I can see over the tops of all the trees and everything going west of here. And so I can see the volcanoes to over that side. I'm rocking it, man. I'm pimping shit. Y'all don't even know how gangsta I am.
Oh my gosh.
I could throw water balloons full of dookie at the crackheads and the strippers wandering down on Central below me. And they wouldn't even
but
see where it was coming from. Why wouldn't I? How do you know what I do when I'm not playing
when you're
nice?
Not doing what you're doing. You know you're not. You're like playing magic or smoking pot or freaking on the internet, dude. Your face is in Facebook. You wouldn't be able to do it. You'd have to check your – you'd have to update your page, like, 20 times before you'd even, like – and then you'd be like, oh, nah, I have to smoke a cigarette. I'll go on the porch.
I haven't
even
played Magic. I haven't played Magic yet. I still haven't tried that. And Gwen's going to teach me. She keeps saying that. And so I'm going to – I'll hold her to it because she'll be back in, like, a week. And we can play some Magic. And I can learn how to create realms of – mystery and stuff and get it and delve into something. All right, what about you? Okay. Andrew, have you ever played Magic or Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah.
Or any of those?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Love it.
And I think a huge benefit comes from the spontaneity involved, the use of imagination. And I look back and I think to myself, you know, back in high school and college, I should have spent more time playing D&D, and I should have actually Magic's been. I remember when Magic the Gathering came out, and that was years ago. And I've had ample time to try this shit, and I'm missing out. That's the conclusion that I came to. Because I work my imagination in on multitudes of other ways, but this is like just another facet that I'm not. So I'm trying to broaden my horizons and delve into gaming.
Yeah, absolutely. I think imagination, movement, creativity. It's a lot. When I studied performing arts for about 5 years, and I realized that for me, the art of thinking and the art of exploration comes from a different sense. It doesn't come from my intellect. I get things in feelings and pictures. So once I started to explore intelligence from that and movement as opposed to the intellect, my imagination just got liberated because I was able to explore subjects and my interest through movement as opposed to just reading a book. Oh, that's interesting. I'd be kind of interested in that. I explored it through imagination and movement. So it just brought this whole level of embodiment that's far beyond, say, a yoga form or a qigong form. It's just pure energy and creativity. So, that's what really excites me.
Yeah, I love movement and dancing, too, for that reason. In my imagination and everything. I don't know, it's like an innate, like, intuitive thing that I've always done in, like, movement
and
stuff.
Since we've been painting on the inside of caves, we've been doing dances. I mean, that's one of the most prominent things they found in some of the oldest cave drawings are people doing rhythmic dancing. And also other ones are like people with the nosebleeds, and it shows that people are working themselves up and getting and achieving altered states of consciousness, there's a whole book about that. It was Graham Hancock wrote a book called Supernatural, and people should read that. It was really enlightening. It points out a lot of interesting things about what we can gain from the evolution of society and mankind, from when our carbon footprint was really no different. I mean, what was it? They say, the human brain hasn't really changed in its evolution in over 100,000 years, but then
it's
time for
evolution. Right.
We're on the eve. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is what fucks me.
Go ahead.
This is what interests me. It's like how do we bring in this movement and bring this evolution now and the shift of consciousness. So the game I've created, essentially, the hidden hero, is using conscious language, using mythos to shift consciousness, as opposed to I'm very bored with the current yoga and qigong and martial art forms. They're important, but I'm kind of bored with them. So I felt the need to create a new form, which is based, in the hidden hero, in a form that we're able to explore our own creativity through some foundational principles, but just like the whole institution of education needs to be radically changed. And this is what I'm here to do. This is what we're here to do on all levels. So
it should. Just the our ability to suck in information and input and data on so many different levels that are not being utilized in our education system, and people are sitting still in desks, just bored, not paying attention. Nothing is soaking in at that point. It's like you need stimulation, interaction. You need to be in interested in taking in, and that's when you take in. So you're taking in more input, and you're getting more out of it. That all goes into that massive, knowledge base of everything that you've learned, throughout your lifetime, and you get to use that for everything that comes after, every decision you make, every thought you have gets to spring forth from that massive knowledge base. You want to expand that. You want that to be as big as possible.
That's culture. That's what they said. Our brain hasn't physically changed for the last 100,000 years, but our culture has changed. That's why I feel like we've developed that brain to where we've developed culture. We remember things from the past because we've taught, we remember things from 100 or 1,000 years ago. Like, I think that's why we have such a culture as compared to other animals,
Where
we just grow through that.
We've changed drastically in a very short amount of time. And then to look at it and say, our brain hasn't actually physically evolved since then. Well, then what changed? What has changed? Because, they're looking and saying, some of these cave drawings are like 36,000 years old. And before that, we weren't even drawing on walls. But, other ones are like 70. I've heard estimates of 50, 70,000 year old artwork. You know, depending on how they're trying to gauge the time frame of it. But still, it's like, if the brain hasn't changed in 100,000 years, well, what sparked in us to make us go from being really no different than any other mammal on the planet at the time, way back then, to boom, here what we are now, you know?
Yeah, now, they're breaching on the sort of codon and the DNA that's been reactivated in the human DNA now. The extra codons are being switched on. So some theory, yeah. Some galactic theory, look back at the cultures before us. Obviously, I don't know how much research you guys have been doing, but there's certainly some discrepancies in what the history is teaching us, how old our galactic history actually is. And from what
definitely.
I'm understanding, that DNA is now being activated. I mean, there's a group. I mean, scientists have proven there's a group of kids being born that are about 1% of the population that have super psychic abilities. They've done every test on them. These kids they're calling the super psychic generation. So I'm really, like you guys have suggested, I'm really looking at this timeline coming from the future going, this is already happening. It's been scientifically proven that we have these extra codons activated, which bring natural powers back. There's nothing extraordinary about them. It's just we've forgotten these abilities. And now that these codons are being activated, quantum physics is, you know, kind of fashionable now, that we're able to then embrace that super nature that we once had, 6 to 10,000 years ago. You know? So the reemergence of the Atlantean cultures is what we're seeing, the Sumerian and the Atlanteans, which is, you know, fascinating.
Definitely, very fascinating. I think that we are evolving towards expanding, and I mean, there's so many vast parts of the brain that are completely untapped at this point, and however you want to look at it. I mean, I know you look at things on very different levels, and we always go back to that, you know, shifting of importance of view, and how it takes all points of view to really see what anything is. And I know I tend to look at things from my way of looking at things, and I'm in there thinking that there's a lot of empty space in the brain that can be, you know, utilized to open up these broader aspects of self and consciousness.
Yes, exactly.
And it just takes, I think, exercising them and wanting to, and in the mass consciousness of seeing the evolution of mankind and where we're going, because we are changing and evolving on a daily basis, but we move so slowly through it that we don't tend to notice.
Yeah, absolutely. This is exciting period that we're in now, with the science being able to really explain a lot of what's happening, whether it be quantum physics or alternative realities. But most importantly, I believe it's just that reconnection with the imagination. And the imagination, as Einstein said, isn't really more powerful than knowledge. And how I was taught in school was remember facts, remember knowledge, as opposed to remember it through intuition, through imagination, not just
right.
Regurgitating something you read from a book. You know, that's currently how we sort of justify and judge people. Oh, can we remember this fact? You know, as opposed to,
right.
I don't quite get it. Like when Mary contacted me, I was like, yeah, I was putting that vibe out. I want to do a radio telecar. I just want to blast this to anyone who's listening. And then, you know, I got the message from you guys. So on the level of intuition, this is really a level that we're reconnecting and exploring again. And artists, you know, I feel artists are already there, you know? It's like, man.
Yeah, I think we manifest a lot of things. You know, I've seen that a lot. You know, in my life, especially over the last couple of years, and I know Mary has too. It's like you manifest. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been like a really interesting journey for me, from like when I first like can say like my awakening, or like the remembering. It was remembering. It wasn't something that I read in a book. It was like through meditation, like having like little pots and pictures and remembering, and then like, you know, getting a vibe or something, and then like Googling it, and then like, wow, really? And then it like led me to this, and then like led me to that, and then, you know, I was reading palms at the metaphysical bookstore. I got the flyer for the Qigong seminar. I met David there. I found Andrew through David. And now, bam. And it's all the synchronicity, like, stuff. I've really been riding the wave. And it's hard. I mean, it's hard. I've been throwing, like, a lot of stuff in the last couple of years, like, with the house burning down and, like, you know, horse and none of this and that. So it's hard to, like, get on that wave, but I like that wave. It feels really good. And, like, it is. It's manifesting, and it's filling, and you know that it's going to go somewhere. There's something happening, like, the verge of something. And it's awesome.
Right.
You do connect with the people that you need to be with.
A mass feeling of like a cultivation of energy. Something is definitely, you know, coming to fruition. I feel like that. You know, I felt like that for a little while now. Like something is happening, you know. Whereas for a long time I didn't have that feeling. Like, I'm stumbling through. Like now something is happening, you know, and I feel that a lot.
You don't. Yes, absolutely. This is it seems to be effortless now what my vision is, and I'm feeling across the board with other people's visions of just being able to work with people effortlessly now. It's really exciting.
It is. I think it looks like we lost Corey, and since we're in the after party part, he won't be able to call back in, but I'm sure he intended to hang out and say goodbye to everybody and that to
hi,
know, all of that. But. Yeah, bye, Corey.
Thanks, Corey.
Great, yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to... Yes, your inner ear orgasms on some other... Nick did a podcast tonight, or last night. Nick did a podcast last night, and he had... Nick, who does the Riffs and Raps on Wednesday night. Our show's on Thursday night on Project G Radio, and his is on Wednesday night. He had Loki on there. When they started out, it was Riffs and Raps with Nick and Loki, and then Nick and Loki had to take couldn't do it anymore. You're right, so we had like a reunion show. So that was like a really cool one, and people should go and check that one out for sure.
Awesome.
The
I think there's a link to it. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, August 17th at Vinny's Barbershop, the Close Cuts Poetry Read, it's a release party for Lindsay Thomas's book. It's a poetry read. It's a concert. We're gonna have bands down there. I know we've got Colleen from Grids Green and Ritz Quartet. We've got J.R. Swartzen Band. We've got I know we've got Chemo. We've got Rob Nakai. Coming down, we've got I just talked to Noah Martinez today. He's going to be coming down too and playing, and I think we might even have a couple other people to play, so there'll be plenty of musicians down there playing, and we're going to be doing a barbecue.
Are we going to be
picking
there?
Up food? Yeah, bandwidth. Well, okay, can we announce that yet? Did Nick say it was
I'm not 100%
sure
about that, but I know like we're I'm not
let's just announce
sure,
it,
but that would be cool.
And then and then he has to do it. So Bandwidth No Name is going to be there.
Yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to be
that's right, that's right. Bandwidth No Name will be down there. J.R. Swartzen Band. And we got Chemo, Holly, Rob, Noah Martinez, J.R. Swartzen.
And Frankie
Left Jaw Thaws. We got Sada Ramon's going to right. That's
how
right.
Is
yeah.
Now, people listening or?
Yeah. No, we don't. The live people aren't listening, but the people that listen for the whole, you know, anybody over the next week, whatever. It's like most of our listeners come in later, you know, throughout the week. Like we might have, you know, any number of listeners live, and then it's like a whole bunch more in the archives because they've got like a whole week to listen to it. So. It lets us keep going. Now, I've always been told that we had, 15 to 20 minutes of the after party, and then it cuts us off. So we should probably tell everybody, just in case, that it hangs, because it'll cut us off eventually, and we don't know when that's going to be. But it could be coming up anytime now. So for everybody that listened, thank you very much for listening, and definitely go check out. Hit the website and the Indigo. We're going to post links for those on the Oscar Underground Facebook page, so you can find those there, or just Google search them. Man, I'll probably come up right. Or the hiddenhero.com.
Right.
There's going to be you got links to the Indiegogo from the website and everything.
Yes, certainly do. Yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody, thanks for listening to Oxcar Underground Radio Hour Show number 23. And we're going to keep talking and see if they let us keep going. All right.
Yeah.
If it says, like, 1219 on my thing, so it should be, if they're going to cut us off at 1220, then that should be here in a minute. So we'll see. Are you still there, too, Mary?
Good.
Yes, I'm still here.
More games, more imagination, more collaboration. It's exciting times. Well, what's your perspective of Australia, too? I'm curious about how you guys, you know, just in general, your frame of what you see going on in the world. What's going on in Australia? Have you noticed it?
Well, you know, we're very self-centered here in America, media-wise.
Yeah.
They tell us, they focus a lot on stupid shit that's going on here, but they give us, like, maybe a very cursory, you know, explanation of what's going on elsewhere. But, like, here, looking around in like, our own community, I can see, you know, like, a lot of common thought, a lot of people working together, interacting together, and I can see this, you know, this mass growth and step towards enlightenment, I want to call it, you know, it's happening around us out here, and it's nice to talk to people, because I work at a hostel, so I get a lot of international travelers coming through that I get to converse with, and it seems like,
yeah,
like this is something that people are noticing an uprise in all over the place. People are just coming out of their shells, and I think we're not happy with how things have been, and we're ready to make a change, you know.
Sense of community and, like, family, it seems like more people are, like, open to, like, communicating and, like, on an intellectual but also, like, on a heartfelt level. Like, people are coming more together, and I see that more, like, when you go out and you do, like, you know, develop that sense of community by, like, going and to your local, like, venues and, like, farmers markets, you always seem to run into, like, the same people, and, you know, and then the kids, you know, if you have children, like, they, you know, they get to play with other kids, and, you know, and I think that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that, like, you know, it's becoming more of, like, heart connections and, like, family and, like, really collaborating, too, like, artistry and things like that, and people promoting and helping. That's what, like, Facebook comes in handy, too, is because, like, you can, like,
yeah,
promote and, like, show, you know, something that if you do an aha moment, it might somebody else. And if you have, like, over, you know, a few friends on Facebook, then you're showing everyone.
Yeah, we can really help each other out, too, especially when you have a lot of people in your friend list. And, you know, you're working in what you do, and you've got all of your contacts in your particular field or your particular art, but a lot of them are going to be interested in things that your friends are doing. So it's like when people post events or what's going on or things that people should know about, it's helpful to share those things for your friends, because that gets them, you know, to all of your friends, too. And it really people should, you know, try to help each other out, and then it reciprocates. And it's like, if you do that for your friends, we're going to do that for you when you have, like, an event that you want to tell people about and things like that. It's just, you know, it's you've got this massive community called humanity, and it's like, take advantage of it. Usually, you know, work together, help each other, lift each other up, because it's hard for anyone to do that on their own, you know. But
yeah, exactly. That's a lot of my life work now, as I land back into my community and reconnect with artists. This is the biggest stride I've felt in about 10 years, to actually connect back with my culture, my family, and the momentum here, because we're really quite a sort of underground community of artists here, and there's a major pop syndrome that exists. And so never have I felt a time now where I can collaborate with people that are just getting past their own shit, really, and just saying, hey, yeah, let's workshop, let's do something, you know, let's do it.
Yeah.
And it's just a snowball. Simple mystical events just keep unfolding, and I just keep, especially for this vision here, when this landed, it was like my heart chakra blew open, man, when I realized I was going to be making comic books. I was just like, yeah, you know, what kid doesn't want something like that? So as opposed to being a Qigong instructor, a yoga teacher, which was my past
vocational jobs, or used to be, this avenue now, the door was really open for me when I turned back to the facilitators and said, David Beaudry, what can I do for you?
You know,
Jamie Daver, what can I, you know, so that for me, it's a real full circle moment where I'm actually giving back to the community and I'm not having to be, I did, you know, my time, 15, 18 years of being a facilitator, and now I'm really interested in the creative aspect of running this business and company and collaborating and highlighting artists, you know, because artists don't know how to promote themselves. They don't necessarily know how to work Facebook. So a lot of, I suppose, branding I'm working with now is just sharing that intelligence with artists. So.
Oh, yeah. Right, and this whole experience is like now that you're actually working on the comic and then all of the technical aspects that have to go along with that. It's like you're pushing yourself. You know, you're every time you jump into something new. You know, we wear paths, I think, and then it's like things are effective for a short time and then they become less so. You know, it's like, so it's good to delve in and make your mind work on new ways. You know, on different problems. And something like this is going to be, you know, and a self-expanding project for yourself too, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's being transparent. And this Indiegogo has allowed, has put myself out there to be transparent, to say this is what I'm doing. And also, yeah, it is definitely pushing me artistically. Because if initially you think you're going up against the, you know, the comic and movie industry, which is based on gangster effort, I'm actually, from the very foundation, for my artists, I'm offering them not only an hourly wage, a profit in the actual product. So I'm looking at the conscious community from day one. I'm not working from the gangster ethic that muscle out an artist, you know, that everyone included gets a profit, and they also get a profit in the iPhone app, they also get a profit in the comic book, as opposed to just, you know, hey, I can outsource this for $5 an hour in India and then see you later. You know, I'm not thinking like that. And that consciousness of community is now, with this energy, if you're not thinking about that, then your business is going to go down. I mean, I'm not willing that to happen. That's just what I'm seeing all around me. Businesses are just failing. That didn't put the hat as their foundation. Yeah?
Right. If
we don't
support that system, yeah. And it's the system, and if we don't support it, it'll crumble, you know. And the we have to break out of that capitalist mentality of doing, you know, just what's, you know, the most financially beneficial for me right now in my company. You know, that's a horrible way of looking at it. You know, it's like we have to all work together. We really do. You know, we have to. This is humanity. This is mankind.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So this is, you know, this is interesting. It's been an interesting journey for me as far as like looking at how this company got set up and how, to be honest, going across to see the Supreme Science Qigong Center was a wake-up call, because basically the foundations in which it set that up didn't respect the instructors in the actual foundation, and as a result of, I suppose what I did was a catalyst. I kind of separated some of his greatest facilitators and took them away, and as a result, he's now shifted his perspective. He's running his whole foundation completely different, as an experience I'm sure was directly infected by the fact that, you know, sort of I came with this rebel idea that, hey, what if your person actually could have the freedom to do their own style within your foundation? Ooh, you know? And it can all work. So yeah, I'm really happy to share these ideas with people, because this is really what I'm doing as a visionary. And then the people just come. These comic book artists jumped out at me. I didn't. If you said to me I'm doing a comic book about 3 months ago, I probably would have laughed. Because, you know, I wouldn't have imagined it. But the universe just led me to this, and I'm just surrendered to it. So.
Yeah, and I think when those things happen, that it's kind of like life, you know, the universe trying to show you that, hey, you're on the right path. You know, this is what what's right for you right now. This is what you should be doing. And it you know, it snowballs and things cascade, and that's your reward for listening, you know, and taking that fucking step. go down this path, you know? I don't know. I think it's going to let us go for a while. Should we play a little bit more music and then come back? You guys good? Do we hang out for another half hour? Don't hang up, though, Mary, because it won't let you call back.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I might have to pick up. This cafe's closing up, so.
Oh, is it?
Just deep gratitude, guys, for just connecting with you, and thank you. This has been great.
Thank you very much for calling in and hanging out with us, and for talking, and again, go to the website and the Indiegogo project, and help this guy bring this project to fruition, because it'll be good for you and us, him, and everyone.
The benefit of mankind.
That's right.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks again,
Mary.
Andrew. Really appreciate it.
All right.
Let's play one of your songs, Mary. Let's play some Vandals No Name.
Which one?
Let's do. Well, what do you think? I got. They Will Come.
Yeah, play They Will Come. I like that one.
All right, let's play that one.
One of my favorite ones.
All right.
A lot of energy right there.
It is.
Okay.
This is Mary Stockton with the band with no name. Here we go.
Are we all set to go? You cannot die, Highlander, unless, of course, your head comes away from your shoulders.
boy. I'm a fat 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 boy.
Blame it on the fact that your boy's been overweight. I still find time to represent the Golden State. Rhyme so clean that it isn't hard to motivate myself and my team till we're old and gray. And you know the way. To my heart is through my stomach, and you think that I'd be skinny with all the crews that I run with. But I'm a savage, my pants size elastic. Blood so big, I walk and cause traffic. I'm not the average MC from round the way. I eat rappers like I gain 100 pounds a day. You can hear me from a mile away. Me against you, you might as well battle me at hometown buffet. You'll never out-eat me, you'll never defeat me. You can't even see me, not even discreetly, because
I'm a fat boy. I'm a fat boy.
Making mad noise, crushing through your freshness like Altoids.
I'm a fat boy. I'm a fat boy.
And if you're fat as fuck, then say that. What's up?
I'm a fat boy. I'm a fat boy. I'm a fat boy. I'm a fat boy.
No, I just finished the show where Nation was the feature. The show was only 5 bucks like Little Caesar's pizza. Me, Max, and Nocturnal loaded up the speakers. And now it's time to eat. I told them that Denny's was cheaper. There was no debate. They all got the message. The only place at any time that you can order breakfast. The waitress walked up. She was half black and Portuguese. She looked me in my eye and said,
may I take your order, please?
Yes, how are you? What's your name? Oh, Tammy. My voice is gone from rapping. I hope you can understand me. Can I please have your number and a moon over my hammy? And then she gave me a smile that was sweeter than candy. She said,
can we just go over to your place?
I couldn't wait to take her home and show her my old face. After the showcase, I'm glad we went the dinner route. I sound like when I'm in and out.
I'm a fat boy. I'm a fat boy.
And if you're fat, I'm a fat boy.
I'm a fat boy. I'm a fat boy. I'm a fat boy.
And all the ladies don't mind that I'm fat. My words are in PC. Guess I am a Mac. And nowadays it's really hard to be big and black. But there are many overweight rappers who influence how I rap. I smooth like the Boris, notorious B.I.G. Catch me in the VIP. Bouncers never ask C.I.D. Stay scoping, hoping one day that we can crack the game open. Unwrap the Trojan. Do it be that Punisher. He was one in a million, making a killing like Tony Montana. You ain't promised my yana and the drama so lyrical that you forgot about his physical. These skinny rappers on the side talking hella shit. But your boy's dipped in sauce like mozzarella sticks. And I'ma slip into the rap scene easy. Didn't you know that fat means greasy? Task one.
I'm a fat boy. I'm a fat boy.
And if you're fat as fuck, then say that's what's up. That's what's up.
I'm a fat boy. I'm a fat boy. I'm a fat boy. I'm a fat boy.
I'm a fat boy. I'm a fat boy. Fat boy. Black. 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 I'm a fat. 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 I'm a. I'm a fat boy, slash that pack boy.
Imagine, if you will, a vegetable garden where living things hang their leafy heads under a beating sun,
penned behind fences,
tied to wooden stakes,
at the mercy of farmers,
until they are plucked ruthlessly from their beds,
skinned,
julienned,
shredded,
and boiled alive.
Someone must speak out for the plants. We must
end vegetable cruelty.
We
are meatitarians.
We view the world through meat-colored glasses.
Every day,
thousands of animals go uneaten.
Their dreams of becoming burgers
or bacon
denied.
We can stop this
right now.
In your own neighborhood, there's a carniceria on every corner.
Yes, people, that's a whole store devoted to meat. Me gusto carne.
Carne adobada, carne asada.
Carnitas de machaca,
pastor, buche, mole, chicharrón, barbacoa, jamón, and colita de pavo. We love all kinds of meat.
White meat.
Dark meat.
Red meat.
Vegetarian meat.
Wait, what?
Vegetarians miss their meat?
You can tell because they shape soy into patties.
Bacon like strips.
And tofurkey.
What the fuck is tofurkey?
We are carnivores.
We order meat lover's pizza.
Hold the sauce, cheese, and bread.
Andouille brats chorizo.
We squeeze sausages from their casings like go-gurt.
A friend once told me the meat aisle makes her cry as she imagines all those little animals in their cages. She can hear their cries in the dark. I, however, weep openly with pure joy at the thought of all those delicious entrees waiting for me to name them breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
To our vegetarian brothers and sisters, please know that
we are
with
you in your stand against animal cruelty.
Please, don't beat our meat.
Let's make like sandwiches and agree to meet in the middle.
We ask you now.
In this age of ergonomic egg cartons
and
organic
chicken
farming,
where is the beef? The Earth has the ability to support 12 billion people.
There are 7 billion people on the planet.
Logically, if everyone became a vegetarian,
the planet would suffer
because plants produce oxygen.
So 7 billion vegetarians eating all the greens
would eventually destroy the atmosphere.
Eating plants is bad for the ozone.
Man.
So really, we're doing you a favor. You're welcome. You can keep your salad bars and seaweed.
I don't know, dude. Seaweed is kind of tasty.
Yeah, that shit is really good for you.
Makes good soup.
My grandma eats it.
No! What the fuck are we talking about? Fuck seaweed.
We love meat.
Our arteries may be hardening as we speak.
But we will die bloated and happy with a blockage in our hearts and gravy in our veins.